That is one of my favorite worship songs, because as you read the book of Revelation, you will see that we will be singing those verses for a long, long time in eternity, constantly singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And what a perfect way to transition our minds and our hearts into studying God's Word, to hearing what it is that God is saying to us today through His Scripture. And, you know, a lot of times, like that song, I know we'll be singing it forever. And, you know, part of it is we start singing it now, giving God our full worship, giving Him the glory for everything. And over the coming weeks, you're going to be seeing this triangle. And as we continue going through the Sermon on the Mount, there's some things in chapter 7 that I want each one of us to see and to know as you begin to study the Scripture, read the Scripture, and applying the Scripture to your life, living your life like Jesus lived His. We need to have, we must have a good balance in our life. Now, about a year ago, year and a half ago, you saw this triangle before, because this is something that's just a constant reminder to me, and I hope it'll be a reminder to you, of living like Jesus lived, having that balance in our life. And the most important thing that we begin with in having that balance is our up relationship. That is your relationship with God. And as you see this and you think about this relationship, this is the foundation for everything that we do in order to live our lives like Jesus. We have to be investing ourselves, investing our time, investing our lives into our relationship with God, learning how to live like Jesus lived by studying the Scripture, by spending time with Him in prayer and communing with the Father. We talked about this when we went through the disciples' prayer. What a privilege it is that we get to have God Almighty as our Father in heaven. And we get to spend time with Him. We do. It helps us to build that foundation for the other relationships that we must have to have that balanced Christian life. And the other is our in relationships. This is our relationship with other followers of Christ. And so as we are investing in our relationship with Christ, we're also investing in our relationship with other Christians. That's the folks here in this room, where we're growing stronger together, encouraging one another to grow in our faith, investing in one another, letting iron sharpen iron, just like the Scripture says. That's how men sharpen each other, how we sharpen one another to have that relationship where we live, having that relationship where we live our lives like Jesus lived His. And then we also, to have proper balance as Christ did in His life, is our out relationship. This is our relationship with people who are not yet followers of Christ. And it's so important that we understand that we have to have relationships with people who are not yet followers of Christ. That is how people come into the kingdom. When followers of Christ, when you and I are investing our lives in them, getting to know them with the purpose and the goal that they would one day become a follower of Christ. And so as we go through Matthew 7, continuing with the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be looking at each week how which one of these aspects of our relationships Jesus is talking about. And this morning, he's mainly focusing on our relationship with other people. That would be our in relationship with one another and our out relationship with people who are not yet Christians. And so as we go through this passage this morning, keep that in mind of how we treat other people. Specifically today, how we talk about other people. Yeah, I heard some, you know, and I'll admit, you know, I hate to admit this, but hopefully y'all know me well enough to know that you know, I don't want to appear to be something I'm not. And I can be a highly critical person. And my family will tell you, and they're, don't laugh, my daughter's laughing at me, but I can be critical of other people, and it's an aspect of my life that I really struggle with, and I have to give to the Lord constantly, because as we'll see today, that's not the way Jesus would have me to live, would not have you to live, especially if we're going to be talking about other people, and as Jesus says in this passage, judging other people. And so this is big. Maybe you don't struggle with these things, but you know, some of us do, where we think that we know people's motives, we think we understand what drives people, and we can be highly critical or judgmental of them. And Jesus is going to address that for us today, for those who are his followers. But we're going to see in this teaching, the big idea is that that before you can help someone else with sin in their life, you have to deal with the sin in your life. Jesus, as he was teaching, many times he was talking or comparing the people to the religious leaders. The religious leaders were very self-righteous people. They believed that they had all the answers, that they did things exactly right, and if you didn't do things the way that they did things, then something was wrong with you. And we have to be careful because just like those religious leaders, they could not see their own flaws. They could not see the sin that was in their own lives, but boy, they liked pointing out the sin in other people's lives. And that's what Jesus is going to talk to us about today. He's giving us a warning of the danger of justifying ourselves, because when you and I justify ourselves, we end up condemning other people. So let's look at what Jesus is teaching us this morning in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see, you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." Now, one of the things as we look at being judgmental, this very first verse where Jesus says, "Judge not lest you be judged," this is probably one of the most misused passages of Scripture or words of Jesus. And it's something that we don't look at the rest of it. We just feel like if someone is somehow attacking us or evaluating us, you know, we can shake our finger at them and say, "Look, don't judge me or you're going to be judged," which is what Jesus is saying. But sometimes we lose sight of the purpose of what he is teaching us today. And this first verse, when you look at it, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." When you judge other people, what that does is it shows that you have a flawed view of God. When you feel like it's your responsibility, or that you have the privilege, or you have somehow, you know, God has granted to you the authority to judge another person, you have a flawed view of God. Because God has not given that responsibility or to any of us. And so if you make the choice to be judgmental and to judge other people, you have a flawed view of God. When you judge another person's motives, when you curse someone, when you condemn someone, what you're actually doing is playing God. Think about that for a minute, because this is big. I mean, just those few words right there that Jesus has given us, this is a huge lesson for all of us in this room, that when we take it upon ourselves to judge someone else's motives, to condemn them for what they do or doing, we are playing God. We are assuming the role of God, and this is not the way it should be done. Whenever you people don't do something the way that you think it should be done, you are not given the authority to condemn them or to judge their motives. Jesus is telling us not to do this because we're not qualified to make those judgments. Years ago, I heard someone say, and I repeat this sometimes, I have to repeat it to myself, God is God, and I am not. God is God, and I am not. And so I cannot do, I don't have the authority to do His responsibility of judging others. And then verse 2, as we look at verse 2, it says, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, when you judge others, you have a flawed view of others as well when you judge them. You know, most people, probably not everybody, I'll say a lot of people, somehow we feel that we can judge other people because, you know, we may not say it, but when we do that, somehow we feel superior to them. I mean, think about it. When we put others down, aren't we trying to lift ourselves up? Or say it the other way, when we're lifting ourselves up, we're putting other people down. And so we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, we don't have the freedom to judge others, and we're not superior to other people. This is not a healthy view to have of yourself or to have of other people. And the scary thing here is, and let me read this again, because this is Jesus telling us, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, when you cast judgment on someone using the wisdom that you think you have, Jesus tells us that God is going to, in return, judge you with the same manner. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God judging me the way I judge other people. Because, see, if He does, then He's not going to show grace. Because how many times do we not show grace to other people? If God judged me the way I judge other people, then think about His forgiveness. How many times are we unforgiving towards other people? And these are all things that Jesus has already talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. So do you really want God to judge you in the way that you judge other people? Think about that. This is big. It's been big for me to think through and to understand what it is that Jesus is teaching us. We must realize, and I hope you all understand, that there's not a person in this room that can know another person's motives. You know, so many times we think we know what motivates another person or what their motives are in something they do. But really, when it boils down to it, I have no way to know your motives. You really have no way to know mine. Only God has that insight into each one of our hearts. And I promise you, He does have that insight. He knows what your motives are. He knows what my motives are. That's another whole nother scary thing to me, is that God really knows what motivates me. But we don't have that insight into other people's lives. And if you think you do, then this verse is probably for you. Because this is what Jesus was telling to the Pharisees, the self-righteous Pharisees, because they thought that they had all the answers, and that if someone didn't do what they thought they should do or in the way they thought they should do it, they would judge them and condemn them. Jesus is teaching us here that the way that we judge people has a boomerang effect. You all know what a boomerang is. Supposedly, I never could get them to work. But you would throw it, and it would loop around, and before you know it, it came right back to you. And when we judge people, our judgmentalism has a boomerang effect, because Jesus says that is the same way in which you are going to be judged. Let me read this statement that I read in a book this week. It says, "To be judgmental is dangerous to the victim because the bias against them. It is even more dangerous to the judge because by the standard of measure with which he judges others, it will be measured to him." So remember that. This is a big, big teaching that Jesus is teaching us today. And then in verses 3 through the first part of verse 5, we see that when we judge people, we have a flawed view of ourselves. Listen to these verses. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. So when we see this, what Jesus is saying is when you judge other people, you really have a flawed view of yourself. Because when you are willing to point out other people's sin, but you haven't dealt with the sin in your own life, you're being a hypocrite. And that's what the people of Jesus' day were doing. And that's the thing that we can be guilty of today. Whenever we refuse to agree with God that something is sin in our life, or we refuse to turn from that sin, yet we point out sin in other people's lives, we're being hypocrites. And Jesus is saying, look, deal with your own heart. Let me search your heart. Deal with the sin in your life. And this is something that many times we don't like to do. We don't necessarily like to deal with the sin in our life because it makes us realize that before a holy God that we are sinful people. But what Jesus is saying is, deal with your own heart. Quit trying to fix other people's hearts. Don't try to help them until you've dealt with your own sin and in your own life. That's the main point of what Jesus is trying to teach us today, that the sin of the critic is greater than the sin of the one being criticized. This is a huge teaching for us today, because again, Jesus was talking to those who were at the Sermon on the Mount who were present, but there were a lot of the religious leaders there, and they were self-righteous. And self-righteousness is a horrible sin for any of us because it's a sin of unbelief. When you and I are self-righteous, when we believe that we have all the answers, when we believe that we are living the life that God that is pleasing to Him, but we have not dealt with our sin in our life, it's a sin of unbelief. We don't believe that we have sin in our life. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, they didn't believe they had sin. But boy, they love to point out the sin of other people. And see, we can do that today. I've said in the past, and here, I've said it in different teachings that I do, you know, that I used to really make fun of the religious leaders. I would make fun of them because Jesus was right in front of them and they couldn't see Him. They didn't know that this was the Messiah, that He was the Messiah, that He was the one that came to save them. They were so consumed with themselves and trying to be right before God that they missed the gift of God right in front of them. And then I think to myself, you know, how often do we do the same thing? That we think that we have everything going on right in our hearts, in our life, and we're so quick to criticize and judge other people without dealing with the sin in our own life. Jesus calls that person a hypocrite. He's saying, don't be a hypocrite. Deal with your own sin. In verse 3, he even emphasizes this. Let me read it again. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice? And that word notice there, that's one that we could just fly right by. But I believe that what Jesus is saying is, stop right here and deal with a sin in your life. Let me search your heart. Let me show you the sin in your life. Agree with me that it is sin and turn away from it. When he says, you know, when you don't notice. And the only way that you're going to notice something is to stop and really look at it. And so Jesus is saying, you know, notice the sin in your life before you try to help someone else. You know, how can you help someone deal with their sin if you've not dealt with your own sin? You can't. And if you try to, Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. You're a fake. You're a phony. you know, a hypocrite's like an actor pretending to be something that they're not. And then in verses 5, the end of verse 5 and verse 6, Jesus shows us the proper balance in how we view ourselves and how we help others, because we are to help others. It's just helping them in the right spirit and the right, having the right heart before God. He says, you will see, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And so Jesus says, look, we are to help one another. I don't want you to hear me saying that we're not supposed to help one another. But it's all about our heart. You know, if we feel like somehow we're superior to another person and we're trying to help them when we haven't dealt with what's in our life, that's not going to work. The proper way, Jesus says, is you get right with God. You make sure you're right with God. And then you'll be able to help others to be right with Him. Does that make sense? You know, this has been, like I said, he's really speaking to me through these verses, because it's so easy within the church, within our own families, to be critical and judgmental. It's even easier to me to judge those who are out there who are not in the faith. But we have to understand who we are and be right with God before we can help others be right with Him. And then He gives us a warning here. He says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn on you. This is a hard saying. Okay, this is a hard saying that Jesus has given us, because we want to constantly be throwing or putting the gospel and the teachings of the Bible out to people, but some people are just not going to accept it. Some people are even, they're aggressive against it. And Jesus is saying, He's not saying don't try. He's just saying that understand that some people, more and more people every day, are going to be antagonistic against the truth. And at some point, we have to just leave them to God. And again, this is hard because we think we should constantly be pounding on people, especially if it's somebody we love and we care about that's turned away from the truth. It's not that we don't do it. We just have to be careful, because we got to understand that some people just are not going to receive it. And we have to trust God at some point to work on their hearts. This past Wednesday, in our Bible study and in prayer meeting, we're going through the Proverbs. And if you don't have anything to do on Wednesday night, we have a great time in our Bible study and prayer meeting. And we're going through the book of Proverbs. And this past week, the proverb that we studied is very, very similar to what Jesus just said. In Proverbs 9, verses 7 and 8, or half of 8, it says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who... Is that going to come up? Let me back up. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. And so you see that even in the Proverbs, there are times when there are people who are so antagonistic against the truth that you know that you're going to receive abuse when you try to correct them. And so that echoes what Jesus is saying there. And this is hard. It's hard to do when someone's antagonistic towards God, toward His Word, toward followers of Christ. But Jesus is saying at some point, we just have to leave them up to God. And then, as I was studying through this, looking at this proper balance, and what I want to communicate, and hopefully you've heard today, is there's a proper balance in how we live our life like Jesus. And we have to make sure that we're right with God before we can help others to be right with God. That's the balance. That's the balance that we have to have in our relationship with other people that are inside of the faith and those who are outside of the faith. And I thought of, and I remembered, just a perfect example of this, another teaching of what Jesus is saying, and it's in Psalm 51. And David had sinned with Bathsheba. If you've read the scripture, you remember that story where David was not out at battle where he should have been. He was at home at the palace, and he saw Bathsheba. And anyway, she was married to somebody else, but he didn't care. He brought her in. They had their relationship, and then they had a child. And in Psalm 51 is when Nathan is confronting David about his sin. You know, David didn't think anybody knew about this sin, and so he's confronting him about it. And it shows us the proper balance that we should have about our sin. In Psalm 51:10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Think about that. That's what Jesus is saying about dealing with the log that's in our own eye. David is saying, look, I know that I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you and you only, God. And then he's praying that God would create a clean heart in him. And then I love the balance that's found in verses 12 and 13. When David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. When we are right with God, do you remember if you're a Christian, when you first gave your life to Christ, and if you're here today and you're not a Christian, this is one of the most amazing moments in your life. When you choose to confess your sin and recognize Jesus as your Savior and Lord, it's like a burden just is lifted off of you. Do you remember that feeling? If you're a Christian, do you remember that time when you felt like you had the weight of the world on your shoulders? And then when you submitted your life to Christ, it was like everything was lifted off of you. And that's what that happens when we get right with God and confess our sin. That's what happened with David. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And then verse 13 says, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to me. Do you see the balance of this and the same thing that Jesus just taught us? That we have to deal with the sin in our life, and then we can help teach transgressors God's ways and sinners return to him. See, that's what I love about the Scripture. If you're new to the Scripture, again, if you're not a follower of Christ and you're searching, you won't see the Scripture contradict itself. So what was written in Proverbs, what was written in Psalms, and then Jesus is saying the same thing to us in this teaching, that we have to be right with God before we can help others to be right with him. And so I hope that as you think about what Jesus has taught us today, that you will recognize that. A couple of just things to reemphasize this from the big ideas. You cannot judge another person's motives. I can't judge another person's motives. You cannot help another person with their sin until you deal with your own sin. And when your heart is right with God, he will use you to help other people to be right with him as well. So this is a big lesson for all of us today to really think about, you know, how we treat other people and allowing God to search our hearts before we try to figure out someone else's heart. And so my prayer today really is the prayer that David offered up to God. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Let's pray about this. Father, I thank you for the Scripture. I'm so grateful, Lord. I mean, the words can't describe how much it means to me that your word is written down for us in the Bible. That when we pick up the Bible, we are holding your words. We're reading your words where you teach us how to live our lives like Jesus lived his. And Father, my prayer today for each one of us is that we would allow you to examine our hearts. That we would get right with you. And then and only then will we try to help others to be right with you. Father, my prayer today is that you have searched all of our hearts, and that as we have this song of response, this time of response, if any of us in here need to confess that sin of self-righteousness, that we would confess it and turn away from it today, that we would allow you to reveal to us the sin in our life, that we would agree with you that it is sin and that we would turn from it. Father, I thank you that you challenge us and teach us through the Scripture. And my prayer is that each one of us in this room have heard the truth of what Jesus is teaching us. And it's in His holy name that we pray. Amen.